Welcome to CPA Spotlight, a look at the issues that impact CPAs, their clients, and their businesses from the Maryland Association of CPAs. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I'm Bill Sheridan. We've been talking about generational differences for years now, so my question is, how are the generations getting along today? Are we seeing more cooperation, more understanding, or are the gaps as big as all the experts tell us they are? For answers, I called up Cam Marston. Cam is president of Generational Insights, that's a demographics consultancy. He's also a frequent speaker on the conference tour, and he's got insights galore, and also a few words of advice for each of the generations, where they should be focusing their efforts and what opportunities are out there. Cam's latest book is Generational Selling Tactics That Work, and he has some thoughts for CPAs, too, ideas for how they should be marketing their services to different generations. Here's Cam. Now, Cam, we've been talking about generational issues for years now. Has anything changed recently? Is the gap between the generations as great as it once was, or are you seeing a greater spirit of cooperation and collaboration between the generations today?
It's an excellent question, and there certainly are still some gaps between the generations. Some of those gaps are narrowing a bit, but there are still some great distinctions. An example, the Generation Xers now, the vast majority of them are parents, and with that change comes a different attitude about the workplace and future planning and longevity and things of this nature. So the Generation Xers, who used to be, the term coined was job hoppers, are slowing that down dramatically as their responsibilities and burdens of parenthood are causing them to be more cautious about things of that nature. It doesn't mean they don't want to change jobs. They're just doing it much less frequently. Another change is that the Xers are often in buying or influencing positions in the places that they work, and they've become a very shrewd buyer in some cases. The big question, of course, on the change in the generation is what's going on with the millennials, also known as Gen Y. And we're seeing, I had expected to see this economy curb some of these characteristics and behaviors of the millennials, these very impetuous decisions, very short-sighted decisions in many cases about their workplace, demands about the workplace of feedback and flex time and things of that nature. And it has not. And so many of the same challenges and requests that I get as the owner of this business, and how do we deal with this, or what's the explanation for this behavior, or what is the solution for this onboarding process, it doesn't seem to be working, are continuing within the millennial generation, even though this economy. The only interesting little tidbit that we're seeing out there regarding the millennials are the oldest section of the millennials that are now in their very early 30s or late 20s are beginning to exhibit some signs, some indications of team behavior in a way that they had not in the past. What we don't know, is this a temporary thing? Is this generation moving into a new attitude around team and workplace? I don't know, but there are a lot of us that are following the leading edges of the millennials to say, has this self-indulgent or self-important generation beginning to look beyond itself and beginning to morph into teams in their workplace the way their parents did, or showing the same team characteristics as their parents did? So we don't know if it's a flash in the pan or the prediction of a long-term change. So there are still gaps. There are some changes. It really makes it all very interesting.
That is interesting. Let's talk about each generation for a second, and specifically where you think the opportunities lie for each group today. First, the millennials, and you mentioned some of the things that you're seeing specifically with regard to the economy. Where should they be focusing their efforts, do you think?
Well, I think any predictable behavior that the millennials can exhibit, predictable positive behavior that the millennials can exhibit in their workplace, will find a welcome audience from their employers. One of the things that I've been asked to do more and more recently is to explain to the millennials how it is that they earn their pay, not the job, but how their pay is determined. And the rule of thumb is salary times 1.5 is how much it costs to keep someone employed. So anything that they can do that will show predictable, reliable behavior to their employer, that is something that benefits the firm, the company, the customer, the client, whatever it may be, will be highly welcome, will be overwhelmingly welcome. The second thing, and these are not number one and number two, here are two very important items, is become a face-to-face communicator that is very good at expressing positions, emotions, beliefs, feelings, etc. One of the great challenges that the baby boomers and the matures mentioned to me is to find the millennial who can communicate clearly, verbally, interpersonally, with their employers, with their teams, and most importantly, with their clients. The millennials tend to want to jump back into electronic communication where at all possible, whether it's with a telephone device or an email device. What the boomers and matures are looking for to promote, to hire, is a remarkable ability for interpersonal communication. They will find themselves in leadership positions if they can do that. And secondly, they will find their peers lining up behind them saying, you represent us, you are our leader. So the employers will select them as leaders, their peers will select them as leaders. And what they need to be doing is getting good at sharing and expressing their ideas verbally, not just through the electronic mediums.
And the boomers, let's talk about the boomers for a second. Where should they be concentrating their efforts?
The boomers hold something that's widely, not tongue-in-cheek, referred to as tribal knowledge. It's what they know that can't be printed. It's what they know that you can't learn in a book. And the boomers need to be focused on transitioning this wisdom from their generation to the next generations. Those next generations, of course, being the Xers and the millennials. But they need to begin, and the word for it is mentoring. They need to begin mentoring the next generation, not focusing on skills, but focusing on knowledge and wisdom, on when and why to do things, not how to do it. How to do it are the skills. The baby boomers likely, each one of them likely, can cite someone from their past who took them under their arm and said, come with me, you've got potential, let me show you how this works. In other words, they probably had a mentor. However, those baby boomers themselves are not showing themselves to be mentors to the next generation. Long list of reasons behind that, the biggest one being they're too busy to do this right now. However, what those baby boomers need to begin thinking about is the legacy of their workplace, the legacy of their practice, whatever it may be, and that will be gained through mentoring, not through the toys collected, but through the legend they leave behind through mentoring. So they need to begin transferring this tribal wisdom.
And the Gen Xers, they almost seem like this forgotten generation. I talked with a fellow Gen Xer the other night, and in the interest of full transparency, I'm a Gen Xer myself, and this guy said to me he feels like we're being ignored in all this talk of boomers versus millennials, and those two being the bigger generations that are out there. What are the opportunities for Generation X?
Well, he's right in that they are being ignored in many cases. You got 75 or 80 million baby boomers and 80 to 85 million millennials, and 45 million Generation Xers. We're a fraction of the size of those two generations. So marketers, advertisers, product development, et cetera, they go to these big generations, and it makes complete sense. Furthermore, those two other generations are very positive and optimistic generations, and we tend to be cynical, dour people. So it makes sense where you're going to spend your time. But the Generation Xers will create their success by becoming interpreters between the generations on either side of them. Generation X needs to be focused on how to get out of their workplace, get out of their office, get out of their cubicle, wherever they exist in their workplace, and going and making eye contact with both the baby boomers and the millennials. Generally, the baby boomers are FaceTimers and consensus builders. They like people around them, they like to see them, they like to reaffirm their beliefs and their positions through meetings and interactions. The millennials are a group animal. They've been raised in a world of play dates and things of that nature, and they too like the interaction amongst people. The Xers tend to be loners. They tend to be nomads. They tend to be the latchkey kids, and their bias is to not engage the people around them in their workplace. Let them get it done. They don't need me overlooking their shoulders, what the Xer says. But ironically, what the baby boomers consider FaceTime and consensus building, the Xers often define as micromanagement. But the Xer needs to understand this. If they are going to be successful in their workplace, it will depend on how well they engage these two massive generations on either side of them. And they will have success engaging them if they go out, look at them, talk to them, ask them how they're doing, and stick around for the answer. So the Generation Xers have got to get out. They've got to start shaking hands. They got to start networking. They've already been doing it, but it needs to be visible both inside their workplace and outside their workplace.
And what about the very youngest generation that's out there? I believe they're being referred to now as Generation Z. What kind of implications are there in the workplace with regards to these very young folks who will be entering the workforce in the not-too-distant future?
Sure. The Gen Z, which is such an unoriginal title, I think the implications for our society is we need to be more creative with their name. But Gen Z is supposed to, now, according to the way I look at this and read the numbers and the birth statistics, etc., Gen Z begins around the year 2000, though there are plenty of people who would disagree and say they're already in high school and budding in college, etc. Either way, the prediction being, and this comes from the cyclical nature of generations, the prediction is that they will enter our workplace and be very much like what's called the silent generation, who were children during the Second World War. They weren't old enough to participate in the Second World War. They were children during that war, and they're often overlooked. They are behind very influential generation, much like this Gen Z will be behind the millennials. They'll be overshadowed by that millennial generation. Their characteristics in the workplace is that they tend to focus internally on the society in which they exist. They don't go externally. Think about the GI generation. They went externally and solved big problems. The generation that follows in their wake is typically one that focuses internally and makes sure everyone else is okay. If you could see me now, I'm doing air quotes. Everybody else is okay. They focus internally. In our time, they created the Lionses and the Kiwanis clubs and the Rotary clubs, etc., and they focused internally on bringing everyone together. The prediction is they will be that way themselves. At this point, we don't have much evidence that would suggest that's going to be true or not. There just aren't enough of them in influential decisions to monitor their behavior. My children, my oldest is 9. She's supposed to be a member of Gen Z, and I can't tell whether that's her characteristics or not. She's still making her bed for $1 on a weekly basis or something like that. But if this cyclical theory of generations holds true, and it has held true in this nation 4 times since the Puritan landed on Plymouth Rock, or since the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, then that will be some of their characteristics. But as yet, the workplace is yet to be influenced by them.
Now, your new book is titled Generational Selling Tactics That Work. Let's apply that to CPAs for a second. Has the way that we market and sell professional services changed as a result of the generational gaps?
Well, I think if it hasn't changed, it might need to consider that for 2 reasons. Number one, the Generation X buyer. One of the places Generation X has excelled in the workplace is in positions of buying, in CFOs or screeners of products and services, because they are a very skeptical, suspicious, and wary buyer. They've been burned, and all generations have been burned, but it cut Generation X to the core, and as a result, they are not a buyer as much as they are a stalker of products and services. So the way you sell the CPA services needs to consider this wary buyer, and there are things to consider. The Xer consumer, the Xer buyer, the Xer professional service buyer is interested in creating relationships after the service has been agreed upon. In other words, let's do business and then develop relationships. And for the longest while, it's been, let's develop relationships, and then we'll work into doing businesses. The baby boomers created success by selling to their peers and to by the older generations by, let's go to lunch, let's play golf, let's spend time, get to know one another, and that will naturally progress into business. The Xer buyer says, let's figure out a way to do business based on price and proposal, etc., and if it works, then we'll play golf, then we'll go to lunch, then we'll get to know one another. And from the baby boomer salesperson who's out there advocating for their firm, this is kind of backwards. The second thing is this. Most storied organizations in this country, whether it be a CPA firm, an auto manufacturer, whatever it may be, try to position their strength through their history. In other words, we've been around for a while, therefore you should do business with us. The Generation X and the millennial buyer is much less interested in your story than in what you're going to do for them in their future. So the person that says, our firm has been around for 20-some-odd years, we've got prestige and precedent in our community, is going to turn the Xer buyer off. The Xer and millennial buyer, incidentally, wants to hear, here's what we're going to do for you, here's how we're going to make you stand out, here's how things are going to be different once you engage our firm. So the Xer millennial buyer is buying a vision of the future. The baby boomer mature buyer is buying a precedent in history, the story of what's gotten them there. And those are two distinct differences that that book is designed to highlight.
Well, Cam Marston, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
I'm delighted that you asked. I hope to hear from you again. Would love to help out in any way I can.
That was Cam Marston, president of Generational Insights and author of the new book, Generational Selling Tactics That Work. You can find out more by visiting generationalinsights.com. And if you'd like to learn more, our own Business Learning Institute offers a number of customized training options related to generational differences. Visit bizlearning.net and search our customized training catalog for generations. Thanks for listening. For details about these and other issues that impact CPAs, contact the Maryland Association of CPAs at 1-800-782-2036 or visit us on the web at www.macpa.org.